Okay, RCNA 37, men's rap. Tim, let's fucking go, boy. Tyler S. is our first presenter.
I'm really nervous, man. I'm really like feeling. It's a great gift. I'm gonna take a moment of silence because I need to ask for help right now. I'm scared, very scared. So I just need to ask for help because I just want to like. You know, just start to like try to identify feelings some more because I don't understand them most of the time. So I just need God to help me sort through the confusion and contradiction that I'm feeling. And you guys just can invite your higher power in and try to get better, you know? Yeah.
Love
you,
man. No matter what.
Damn. All right. My name's Tyler. I'm an addict.
Hi, Tyler. Hi, Dad.
Yeah. So, you know, like, I don't want to talk about anything, you know? I don't want to be like, I'm not trying to like promote anything. I'm not trying to like say this is like how you should do it because like I don't give a fuck anymore about that shit. I just want to be like, I want to love everybody. Because we're all sick. And we all need help, you know? So, like, most of all, like, I need to help. You know, I don't want to cause any harm. I don't want to do anything that makes me go backwards. Because I'm tired of... I'm just so confused. I'm 41 years old. And I'm just still trying to find out why I'm so scared. And I'm so... I can't make any like firm decisions of my own. Like things like it still scares me to like choose something that is going to be fearful to walk through. Something that like the feelings like standing up for myself, having a voice. Because I've gone my like I when I was raised like it's like. My the way I've dealt with shit, like, cause I'm with a girl now that is very direct. I've spent time with her mom and dad, and for holidays and things like that, and like, they talk to each other, you know, like, and it's like you talk about your feelings while you're feeling like this, and when I was raised, the way I was raised, it was like, so fucking what, you know, like. Don't talk about your feelings. Don't talk about these things. Or you're gonna put on like even going to the car rides to the family things, like the whole car just being this like fucking feeling of like straight not being safe. And then getting there and my mom saying just like when we get there, I see my mom and dad doing what they do, and everybody's like fucking. Disgruntled, and then you get to the family event and you get out of the car and everybody's like, oh my, hey, like it's like confusing because I want to say, hey, this is not fucking right. I've wanted to say this is not right my whole life, but I can't say I can't say that because I'm afraid of the consequences, I believe, of standing up for myself. Does that make sense? It's like a lot of people, I admire people in Narcotics Anonymous that say what they have, say what the fuck's on their mind the first time. You know, I admire that, but I'm not. That's not my story. I haven't been able to do that. So I wanted to share today about, like, I didn't think of anything. I was really nervous before I got here. You know, I'm still still going through some stuff right now. It's not even like going through. It's just like a change is happening. A change has happened in my life, and I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck's going on inside of me. And I'm on the third step right now, and this is the paragraph I've been reading in the SEP working guides. I wanted to read about, you know, I want to find something real quick. Okay, this is what this paragraph stuck out to me, because one thing I've had since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous, thank God, like Benjamin last night was sharing about, like, slitting his throat over here at this hospital and doing all these things, like the horror story, like being able not to stop using drugs. Like in January 2nd of 2015, my wife shot my 6-year-old son and killed him. She shot my 8-year-old son and she shot herself. I'm talking about, like, coming from that, man. Like, I'm telling about, like, this like, I still have this, like, thing about loss. Like, I've lost my old sponsor, and I decided to go in a different direction, but that fucking loss that I feel is the same loss that I feel here, and it comes up, and I can't like get through any of these feelings without fucking just like being scared. Like, that's what I use right now is fear. I can't even look up from the fucking podium, bro. That's crazy. Because I'm afraid to, like, get vulnerable right now. Like, I'm afraid to talk about what's going on. And the third step, what I read about was, like, we may find the willingness to work the third step by remembering where we came from and believing that where we're going is going to be quite different. Though we don't know what the difference will entail, we know that it is sure to be better than what we've had in the past. We rely on our faith and believe that this decision is one of the best decisions we've ever made. So like, you know, like, I just got to be honest, like, I decided to move a different direction. I had the same sponsor for 7 years, and, you know, I was thinking about how safe I felt in the beginning. Like, I remember, like, because the dude, like, I've had a sponsor. I used to sponsor Ethan, and I remember Ethan, like, every time we went and ate last night at Buffalo Wild Wings, and Ethan was like, "You remember this, Tyler? You remember that, Ty?" And I just didn't realize how much an impact I had on Ethan. You know, he was like showing me. He shows videos. We worked together, and like where he was laughing, and I'm crazy. I got weird mannerisms, you know, and Ethan loves me, yeah. And I love him.
Yeah.
You know, and Ethan's changed sponsors. He switched sponsors, and that hurt me. So I know how my old sponsor's feeling, and I know that hurt me. But at the end of the day, I was able to still, like, you know, try to, like, engage in that relationship, even though I didn't want to. And to see, like, Ethan today just tell me about, you remember when, like, I used to go to that apartment and pick him up at Castilian or Contempora, and, you know, he just pushed the dude through a wall. And just, I'd forget about, like, we're able to, like, Ethan's being the programming chair now.
Yeah.
Like, I was able to be a part of that. I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I still got defaced of character. I still got, like, you know, when my phone rings, I'm like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still don't want to answer the phone. Even when, you know, I still had, and I put Ethan through things like for my defects of character, like I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't. But I remember, like, when he switched, I remember the feeling I had. And whenever he got switch sponsors for me, I remember the feeling I have. And my first feeling is like, fuck that dude. Like, that's how I feel. But me being able to be like, still have a relationship, that's what I want right now with my old sponsor. You know, but I'm scared to even like hug him and shit. I'm scared to even like try to tell him how I feel. And this ain't nothing to do with him, man. I'm talking about my feelings. I'm talking about my fear. Not his, mine. Like, I'm telling, like, what prevents me from having a meaningful relationship is all these things that I tell myself in my head about, like, what's going to happen. All these scenarios I play in my head about, like, well, if I do this, what if he does that? What if I do that, what if this happens? But at the end of the day, you know, I was eating lunch with another guy, and at the end of the day, he was telling me, he was like, I'm able to, like, you know, practice compassion, and like I'm able to practice open mind. He's able to practice a lot of principles with me. That's what he told me. But he said he's just feeling some type of way here because he's not able to do it with everybody else. And that's like that's a good analogy for me. Is like when he's able to like practice principles with me, our relationship is one of the most meaningful relationships in my life. It is. He's fucking nuts. But it's one of the most meaningful relationships in my life because I've seen, once again, I see him come in and grow. It's like, if I'm able to, do I really, okay, God's showing me a fucking playbook about what reality is. I'm trying to get in touch with God. Narcotic, this is my experience. Narcotics Anonymous, if I watch things here and I watch people practice principles, it shows me what I can do too. You know what I'm saying? So this is so crazy. If he sits down and tells me that he practices and that's the most meaningful relationship, well, that's saying, hey, that's for you too, Tyler. Like, if you can practice a principle instead of a defect of character, you will have a meaningful relationship in your life. Or not. But it's still going to be myself, my integrity, my self-worth, my self-respect. Something that I've been looking for my entire life. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I decided after 7 years, I was talking about, man, that dude, I believe that dude saved my fucking life, bro. Because I've never been able to stay clean my entire life. I'm talking about my kids fucking in a fucking urn, ashes. Six-year-old boy. He's ashes. I'm talking about going to that extreme. Not being able to stop to fucking protect him. Not being able to stop to protect him, to protect Joey. And I'm talking about not being able to stop. And then the first time in my life, someone comes in my life and I'm able to hear the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And then I just grabbed a hold of that I felt safe for a long time, man. Like it was like God knew something. I don't even know. Something knew that this is what I needed in order to get to an understanding about the disease of addiction. You know what I mean? So this is the first time like I was trying to identify a bunch of feelings, but this is like the first time I've ever been anywhere with a new sponsor. And seven, I don't know if y'all value sponsorship was in bed like a. It was like a thing that was like so crazy that I didn't even know I was building a relationship until I started that relationship started getting challenged with myself. And then, you know, I was just sharing about like there's been a bunch of feelings going on with it. You know, I have a home group. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm homeless right now. Like, you know, I helped start a group in Tulsa and you know, I'm too scared, honestly, to go back to that group right now. I'm too afraid to, like, try to sort through these feelings and shit right now. So really, I'm like got almost 8 years clean. everything about me is subject to revision right now. And I'm not saying that I don't want to say anything bad about my old sponsor. He's not the problem. You know what I'm saying? Like the ultimate problem is me.
Right.
Like that's, the dude is a great, I love, like he's a great man. And he does great things, but I'm not. Something about me was unable to fucking share honestly with him. That's all there is to it. Like I got to get with. Like it's nothing to do with him. Like it says, one of the most painful aspects of the disease of addiction is being cut off from the sharing experience. So I can say all day, like I've been hearing that paragraph for a minute, and I can say all day, like I know when I go to meetings and I don't want to share, oh, the disease of addiction got your ass. Yeah, I can get with that. Like if I can get with, like, I don't want to talk about things until I want to talk about things, but I had no idea I was cut off from the sharing experience with my own sponsor.
All right.
That's the problem right now. It's not like that me not being able to share honestly with my sponsor is a fucking problem.
Yeah.
That's a huge, I didn't even know it was a problem. You know, and he'd always tell me when I called, he's like, you ain't got shit to talk about. And he knew, but I didn't even know. Because the disease of addiction, this is what it does for me. It my entire life is a blur. Like even like people can remember their grade school teacher, their principal, well, you know, all that shit. Like a lot of people can tell you who they were. I have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Like I have no idea what I did after school. Like, dude, that's a lot. Like memories are like, what did you do when you got home from school? I don't remember. That's like how the disease of addiction, I believe, deals with me too. Like it says like it makes me forget, or it makes me think that things aren't even, like I can't even share until I get to like a point where the pain becomes great enough, right? So man, this is crazy. I'm just sharing, you know. So what happened is I decided to change. This is a men's rap. I guess I don't even know what the fuck that means. Like, somebody told me that I should get up and start freestyling. Yeah, that's my sponsor. He freestyles. He still does today on long car trips. But you know, and then I wanted to, like, this is what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me, is in my, even like my old sponsor, like we should share where the fuck is going on just for today, you know. And it's like, you know, what I want most right now is to be able to stand up for myself, and what I want most right now is be able to do that in a kind and loving way. Like I don't have to, like, life's short, bro. Like we're dying every day. I mean, that's just the idea I got. You guys get a phone call that your kid's dead, and your fucking idea about life will change too. You know what I'm saying? Like life, like this is so crazy. I think about all these men in the room. Like we're all put here, like to get better. Like there's a million, whatever, billion people in the world, but for some reason we're all sitting in here today. And I wanted, like, what's going on right now is, like, I decided to ask somebody else to sponsor me that has less clean time than me. You know what I mean? Is younger than me, more handsome than me. But I trust him. You know, and I didn't even know this was going to happen. I've never been able to trust, and it's beautiful for me because I can, this ain't nothing to do with my old sponsor. This is me, like, I can share honestly with my sponsor now. And I can talk about, like things that I didn't even know were there. And the thing is, like, I'm able to, like, try to start to talk about these feelings I got inside of me about, like, things that have always kept me sick. You know, like, I got a girlfriend now. I got my son back in my life. He's got like a Joey lived. Y'all don't know, for y'all that don't know the story, like Joey got shot. He was going to die. Then he lived, and he's like very fucked up. But I have full custody of him. I still wipe my son's ass. A 16-year-old. That's fucking nuts. Like, he asked me why I still have to wipe his ass regularly. I still shower him regularly. I still go to meetings regularly. You know, Joey goes to meetings. It's hard. You know, he didn't ask for none of that to happen to him, but it's fucking hard. When you look at your son who was healthy and he can't wipe his ass, that fucking sucks. And he just looks at me and he just needs help. Like me. You know, he didn't ask for that to happen. And I didn't ask for the disease of addiction either. But I need help. You know, and I'm a good dad. I've had problems. I've been physically abusive to him at a point. I talked about that in meetings, and I've stopped that behavior. That behavior has been replaced. You know, I've been verbally, I yell at him and all these things, but you know, at the end of the day, it's like I have to take care of him for the rest of his life. Like I remember going to like Walmart or the grocery store and then seeing parents with special needs kids. Even before all this, I'd be like, that would fucking suck. That would fucking suck to do that. You know, and then here I am, like, you know, I think that I have no idea like where the power comes from for me to be like where I'm at now with my son. Like I'm a good dad. Like my son today, you know, when I call the school or something, he's always wanting to talk to me, like the teachers, all the things, and I'm a good father today because Narcotics Anonymous, all the things that I did to show up regularly, all that shit, and I own a home today. She got the loan for the home. Yeah, let's say that right now. Like, she put me on the goddamn whatever that is, the deed or whatever. What is that thing called? The title, or you know what I'm saying? Like, my name's on the title, but she got the money for the home. You know, but I still pay the mortgage. You know what I mean? Like, I've known I paid the mortgage a few times when she didn't have it. You know what I mean? But you know, I own a business today because you know, my old sponsor started a business and I followed his direction and all the things, man, that come with this new way to live. But the problem was, is like at the end of the day, I was not taking care of my new way to live. Like I still do crazy shit. Like Friday, the business is crazy. Tim will tell you. I own a paint business, so it's like dealing with customers and one of my best defects of character is people pleasing. So when that motherfucker's hitting just right, like I don't know if y'all have ever used a defect and it hits just right. You know, like I don't think it's detrimental. Because sometimes it feels really good. Sometimes it thinks that I got away with it. Yeah. Why the fuck would I still use them if I didn't think it felt good?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so when people pleasing, when that motherfucker's hitting just right, and people are like, yes, sir, oh, it's beautiful, here's the check, come pick this check up, we got no more work for you over here, everything's great. But sometimes the nuclear blast happens inside, the pressure pot, you know? Yeah. So I've been stressed out at work a lot. You know, just trying to do, it's so crazy because I was thinking about it. It's like my mind, it feels like if I don't think about it, then it's not going to be able to be managed. you know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't, because it's like, you run a business now, so you got to be like on top of everything. Like, and it feels like if I'm not thinking about it and organizing shit in my head, then it's not going to happen and be right. And then I was like, because so I had like, there was probably like 5 checks out there, and I had to pick them up before I came here. And in my mind, from Tuesday until Friday morning, was having conversations with each fucking customer about where we were meeting and what time and what all that shit. So I drove my Friday morning. My dogs, we have a house in South Tulsa, and my dogs, I have 4 dogs, and two of, they're all pit bull terrier mixes. They're mutts. We rescued them because they used to. I think a few of them were like bait dogs. So we have this fence, and the fence costs $8,000 to fix at least. I ain't got that right now. I put something on it, but I ain't got it. So the fence is like fucked up. It's like decayed and it needs to be maintained. And then they dug a hole underneath the fence, and the two little ones got out. And one of them's a lab pit bull mix. So this motherfucker's really agile. He's fast. So he caught a squirrel and ripped it in half. And he ate the front half and left the guts all in the garage. And then the neighbors already have seen me one time take Ellen's phone after getting caught talking to another girl. She went through my phone. And then so I went out to the driveway and took her phone and smashed it. I'm talking about 7 years clean. Smashed it while the neighbors are looking out the window. And that first step question is going to hit a little different when it says how your relationships with your neighbors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was like that happened. So and then Friday, the dogs got out, and the neighbor has like I don't know. She might be like a, I don't want to say like a, some kind of religion that has a lot of kids, and she's like one of those ladies that she's one of those ladies that homeschools, you know, and is there 24/7 all the fucking time. She's got a garden, and she's like always out, so I'm always seeing her, and every time I see her, I'm like, god damn, she knows who the fuck I am, you know what I'm saying? So the dogs got out and they tore these squirrels up. And then they got, like, she's got kids in the yard, and they run over to those kids, and she swoops them up. So she sends a text message to Ellen saying, we're real concerned about the dogs. So I'm outside, and I zoom in from work, and I'm outside, and Ellen shows me a text message, and I'm like, well, if she'd fucking put her kids in school, we didn't have this fucking problem. And I'm saying it loud enough so she can hear it. And then I go to the garage, and I take a 5-gallon bucket of paint, and I sling it across my garage. Like, and there's paint everywhere. So this is Friday. About 9:30 in the morning, in our, 60,000 dollar house in South Tulsa. Was 7.5 years clean. So the question I need to ask myself now, like what I'm saying is like, I told my new sponsor this and all this stuff, but the reality is it doesn't matter who the fuck my sponsor is.
Yeah.
Am I willing to like look at that and try to, you know, get better? So that's like, I've used anger my entire life to like fix. It's a defect that I use that makes it seems to work sometimes. Because if I get angry enough, this is what I found out that day, she'll leave me the fuck alone. You know what I mean? If I get angry enough and scare her, then she'll fucking leave and leave me the fuck alone. And quit asking what's wrong. Like, let's talk about it. Let's look at, I don't want to fix nothing right now. I want to fucking feel the feelings, and that's, I don't want to fix, I don't want the solution. So now it's like, I needed some water. You got what? I'll just drink yours, bro. I don't care, bro. We're painters, bro.
Yeah.
He got a bump on
you. That's all right. I got him on my dick. Real talk. So, you know, that happened Friday, and I wanted to be able to like talk about this, like those feelings that are going on with me. The most thing that's fucking me up today is like I have a hope now. I have a hope that I can be who I think I'm. I have a goal. I can be who I want to be. Like, I have a goal that I can be a calm, approachable, like a loving person, you know, and that's really like there's some goals that you set and those things like assets that the steps ask about. The asset that I want the most is to be able to be a calm, approachable person, you know, because like that's what I see in a bunch of old timers that still come to meetings like regularly, like I'm able to like what I found out is like you've heard all this shit about alienating, like I've gone through the stage of like righteousness, all the things, all the shit. I didn't go to any groups because I had a pre whatever, all that stuff. But what I found out recently in the past couple weeks is like my perception has changed a lot. And that's all I can say. It's like it take the individuals out of everything. Let's talk about my perception about life has changed. So with that being said, you know, I'm able to go to other groups right now and kind of like listen to everybody sharing.
Right.
Which is crazy because I, you know, defects of character for so long have like conditioned me to think that this will protect me. But the reality is the defects of character, every single time I use them, they hurt me. I have to get with that. Like, most of all, I harm myself, right? And today, like, I feel like I've been able to share a little bit honest about what's going on with me. And I wanted to just say that thank God for a program where we all can come and get better every day, you know? So really, it's like, I got to get with the fact that the steps still today are tangible ways, concrete ways for me to change from the inside out. Because that's really what I want, is like just to be like an old timer one day sitting in here watching the new guy come in and throw paint across his garage.
Yeah.
That way I can be like, yeah, it's okay, bro. Sit down. Thanks for letting me share.
Manatic Cody. So our next presenter is David H. from Fort Worth, Texas.
Come on, let's go Fort Worth.
That's what it says on there. It says the presenter.
He probably needs some water, bro.
Yeah, can I? Hey, you guys, can I get your water?
Yeah, I got some.
I was gonna holler at you. Just leave it up here. Thank you. I really was. When I was sitting back there, and he did that, and I thought, I hope he just leaves it up there. Because I might need some. Manatic, my name's David. I've been clean all day. And, you know, if you're new here, I'd like to welcome you to Narcotics Anonymous and let you know that you'll never have to use again. You know, thank you, Tyler. Thank you. I love you, man. I love you. I understand kind of what you're going through. I've switched sponsors, and I get it, man. I get it, and it's tough, and I'm still fucking tripping on what religion just it like believes in having a bunch of fucking kids. I said that, and I was like, I heard everything you said until that point, and when you said that for the rest of the time you were sharing, I was just back there racking my fucking brain, man. I was like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. You know, man. I want to start one thing off with. First off, I've been clean since January the 2nd, 2003. I just celebrated 20 years. And I'm still waiting to reach that point where I'm the fucking old timer watching people do shit I used to do. You know what I mean? Just because we get clean time, right? Just because we work steps doesn't mean we still don't fuck up. Doesn't mean that we still don't fucking make mistakes. You know? Will I ever get there? I don't fucking know. You know, I know I get better at times, and then I slip back into some shit, right? For me, I can calculate every moment where I fuck up, right? I used to be able to say the most chaotic time in my recovery was when I had about 2.5 years clean, and I quit working steps. I did a 4-step, I did a 5th step. I all these defects came out, right? I became aware of all these defects that were going on inside of me, and I chose to put the pen and the paper down and just let them run wild, right? And that rocked on until I had about 4 years clean. You know, and I'm so like, I'm not good at math. Is Tommy in here? That's probably smoking cigars. There he is. What is that, like a year and a half? Roughly? Tommy's my math guy. I keep him around. I've wanted to fire him for a long time, but he's really good at math, and he doesn't need a calculator or anything, so I keep him around. But you know, I used to be able to say that, right? Oh, I can't have yours?
Yeah,
you may finish it.
You don't want
new one. I'll finish it. Okay. I don't give a fuck either, right? Motherfuckers get clean and they're like, I can't drink after you. Yeah, no problem sharing needles and all kinds of other shit with people, right? I mean, fucking crack whores, you know, I mean, you don't give a fuck, right? All of a sudden we get clean and like, it's like, oh my God, I can't drink after him. I'm an idiot. I like to have fun, man, but I like to share from the heart. You know, I think I'm gonna say some shit, and if you don't agree with it, I don't know what to tell you, man. I ain't gonna tell you to call your fucking sponsor or anything like that. And I ain't gonna tell you, please don't fucking come talk to me about it after the workshop, because I'm probably don't want to fucking hear it, honestly. But you know, I think we put too much. I think Narcotics Anonymous is changing, right? And a lot of the change is really good, right? Like the evolution of the program, right? Like Zoom, right? Like everybody hated Zoom, but like that's a beautiful thing, man. It really is. Until 6 years ago, so for the first 14 years that I was clean, I worked on a drilling rig 2 weeks at a time. I wish there was the ability to log on to an online meeting. When I would get out there on an island all by myself, sometimes not even having phone reception. Like, sometimes it's just me, God, and my fucking literature. That's it, right? For 2 weeks, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I couldn't even call my fucking wife, much less my sponsor or anybody else in recovery, right? So I wish that I would have had the ability to jump on a fucking online meeting, right? So a lot of the evolution of Narcotics Anonymous is a beautiful thing, right? And we have to grow, right? Technology and just, like, people come in and they're different, right? And I'm not talking about, like, oh, when I got clean, it used to be like this. Like, I'm not talking about, like, something. We have to find different ways to reach people. But I want to tell you one thing that's changing that I don't like. I think we put too much of an emphasis on this in here. Right on the podium, right? I think we put way too much of an emphasis on it, man. And I think we like groom people to come up here and fucking share, man. And when we do that, we're losing like people sharing from the heart. And that's, look, man, I'm not gonna read anything to you today. I'm just not gonna do that, man. I don't disagree with it, but like I'm not gonna do it. Like I believe about sharing what's on my heart, right? And I get right with God before I share anywhere, in a meeting, anywhere, right? With my kids, like I stop and get right with God all the time. Because, like, I'm a fucking idiot, man. You know, and I'll pop off. My kids, one of my kids is in here. The dumbest one of my kids is sitting in here, right? The one that ended up here, right? Right? Motherfuckers thing that turned 23 years old. For the majority of his life, I have been coming to Narcotics Anonymous, right? For 20 years. I got custody of him when he was 3 years old. And he thought it was a good idea to make a decision to make some decisions that ended his ass up here. He's not the brightest kid on the block. If you hang out with him, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not just saying like I'm his dad. He's a fucking idiot. You know, but like I think we should put more emphasis on like how we're living, man. You know what I mean? Like this is cool, right? And it's necessary and it happens, right? But like sometimes I think we focus too much on this, you know, and people get up here and they just share. Like, Tyler, thank you for being real, man. Thank you for being honest, man. That's what I enjoy. Like, I can't stand when I go into a meeting and I hear somebody share the same shit I've been hearing them share for 20 fucking years from the podium, right? Like, I call it a canned message. You know what I mean? Like a doc, you know what a canned message is? You know, like a doctor. Who drinks Dr. Pepper? One fucking person in the room. All right, who drinks Cokes or Pepsis or whatever the fuck y'all call them, right? Right, so a lot of people, right, every time you pop the top on that Dr. Pepper or Coke or Pepsi or Mountain Dew or whatever the fuck you drink, Red Bull, I don't know what, but every time you drink it, it tastes the fucking same. Right, that's what you're looking for, right? That's what you keep going back to, is that taste, right? And you know, and sometimes we get people in here that's the every fucking time you, and I get it, man. It's very impactful the first time you hear them, right? People's lives are saved, you know what I mean? But like, I believe in sharing from the heart, you know, and I don't know, man. I don't ever plan out what I'm gonna say. You know, I got some shit going on in my life right now. Some shit that I'm not real proud of. You know what I mean? And it's been suggested to me that I probably shouldn't talk about it specifically. And so I don't know. You know what I mean? But what I do know is that with 20 years clean, I'm still fucking human. You know what I mean? I still make mistakes, right? I've still done some things that hurt people, and you know, I'm, and a lot of people are probably like that. I'm a real twisted motherfucker, right? Like I don't hurt you, right? Like I don't know you, no disrespect, but I don't really know you, right? But I don't hurt you. You know, I treat you better than anybody in the world, right? We come hang out with me, well, I'm gonna treat you like a king, man. I hurt the people that are the fucking closest to me, right? Yeah. The people that I live with, right? The people that I see on a regular basis, right? I cuss that kid out more times over fucking nothing, right? Come into a meeting, talk all high and mighty about all these steps I've worked, all these principles that I'm practicing in my life, go home and cuss my kid out over a fucking board game. Like, really, like, tell you, I told this motherfucker during COVID, I'll beat your motherfucking ass. For real. For real. Like, I ain't put my hands on nobody since I've been clean. Yeah. Right? And I wasn't a big fighter when I wasn't clean, right? Like, I mean, look, that just wasn't me, man. I wasn't out there just beating people up. And, I mean, look how big I am. You know what I mean? I don't know if y'all can tell. I'm not real big, you know what I mean? I wasn't out there just beating people up and taking their dope. That wasn't going on. I'm that motherfucker that would sneak in. When you'd go to the bathroom, I'd sneak in there and steal your fucking dope. I definitely wasn't fighting you for it. But I talked to my fucking kid like that. You know what I mean? Over a fucking board game. You know? Cussed him out. And then I got to go in his room with my tail tucked between my legs promptly. Right, like the 10th step says, right? Promptly. Like I didn't wait till the next day, right? Because in my head, I think, well, I need to calm down. That's my excuse a lot of times, right? That's my excuse. I need to calm down. I can't talk to you right now. I gotta get my composure. You know what I mean? But what I do, and then my sponsor and I were just talking about it earlier. Then what happens is tomorrow never fucking comes. That's right. Oh, whatever, man. His little dumb ass. You know what I mean? He's dumb. You know what I mean? I done told y'all he was dumb. But, I mean, you know, but I just like, whatever. He's used to it. He knows how I am. He knows I ain't really mean it. He knows I wasn't really going to beat him up. Right? I ain't never really put my hands on him. You know what I mean? So he knew. But, no, I had to walk in there, and I had to fucking talk to him. You know? And you know, I've been married almost 15 years. I've been with the same woman, only the same woman, for 18 fucking years. Right. And recently, and long story short, no fault of hers, recently, I let my eyes wander, right? I look, man, and I'm not trying to minimize anything, but I ain't physically touch another woman. but I entertain some stuff, right? I entertain some stuff that I'm just not fucking okay with, right? And I'd love to sit up here and tell you that I figured out what I was doing and what I did. I figured out exactly what I was fucking doing, and I figured out that it was fucking wrong, and I stopped, right? And social media got my ass, right? The fantasy, whatever it was, right? And again, no fault of her own, but like, we've been together 18 fucking years. I don't know if anybody in here has been in a relationship that long, but I'm here to tell you, I don't know that it's a given. But in my house, some passion and some intimacy had stopped happening for a while, right? And again, no excuse. There's no excuse for what happened, but I let my fucking mind wander, right? And I'm grateful I didn't touch anybody, right? I'm grateful that I didn't physically cheat, but in my head, cheating's cheating, right? Cheating's cheating, right? Just because you don't touch somebody, it's still cheating. And I'd love to tell you that I just stopped and I'm never gonna do it again. And that's what I believe. But the truth about it is, I got caught. I stopped, and then a couple months later, it all came out. And I got sponsees in here that don't even fucking know. You know what I mean? We talk about men's rap, say you don't know what that fucking means. I don't know, right? Just share, right? I hate when fucking women come into men's raps, right? Well, you can't keep us out of there. Bitch, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? I promise you I wouldn't be sharing this shit right now. You know what I mean? I promise you I ain't fucking going in there. My wife's in there right now. Sharing. Right now. Is she sharing about this? I don't fucking know. I was told by several people, don't talk about it. They're going to judge you, David. They're going to judge you, David. You know what? I really don't give a fuck. Because the truth about it is, I got to recover, man. I got to recover. And all I've ever known, man, since the day I fucking got here, all I've ever known is just to share honest, man. Share from my heart and share honestly. You know, the hardest thing, there's a lot of hard things. Obviously, having that conversation with my wife, I got home from my fucking home group and it's sitting there in front of my fucking face. And it's just like, fuck. And just seeing the hurt and the woman who I love more than anything in the fucking world, man. And just seeing the hurt that I fucking caused. Right? We're 20 years clean, right? 20 years clean, right? David H., right? Speak all over the goddamn country, right? Work steps, fucking sponsor fucking people. Be sponsored by people. And this is the shit I'm fucking doing. Right? So that's what I'm saying. I'm still waiting to get there too. You know? And I do real good, man. I've done real good for like 16 fucking years. I've done real good. You know what I mean? And the truth about it is I haven't actively been writing any fucking step work. I've been bullshitting with my fucking sponsor. You know what I mean? Not sharing about what's real. Because I didn't tell my sponsor this was fucking going on. You know, Chris asked me, he said, why don't you fucking tell me? Because I'm fucking doing dirty shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like the motherfucker says, call me before you use. Motherfucker. Look, man, if I've already made the decision to get high, fuck you. You ain't talking me out of it. You know what I mean? Now, if I'm like on the fence,
right,
I might call you.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I'm thinking about doing some shady shit, I might call you. But if I'm already like committed the act or on the, if I'm driving to the dope house, I'm not calling none of you motherfuckers. Not a one of you. I don't want to be talked out of it, man. And you know, as bad as it is, like my wife, man, my sponsors always called my wife a unicorn. And I was talking to a good friend of mine, another friend of mine. My sponsor lives in California. And how long has he been sponsoring me, Tom?
14.
Yeah, he's been sponsoring me for 14 years. And I've been sponsoring Tommy for 14 years. And Tommy's one of the people that I fucking called. And because I'm embarrassed. You know what I mean? I'm embarrassed, man. And my ego gets in the way. And, you know, my sponsor says, why couldn't you tell me? I said, because of my ego. I'm talking about, I've judged people for doing this same shit. Judged the fuck out of you for doing the same shit. Openly fucking talked about you to other people, right? I can't believe that motherfucker would do that. You know what I mean? Judge people. Look, I'm here to tell you, and I used to be able to say, accept that. Everything I've ever judged somebody for in Narcotics Anonymous, I've ended up fucking doing. What that tells me is I need to try a little bit harder not to judge, stereotype, or moralize with people, right? I need to try just a little bit fucking harder, right? Because everything I've ever judged you for, I've fucking done. Right? It may have been years later, but I've ended up fucking doing it. And it's just like you know, Tyler was talking about that self-righteous bullshit, you know? And I think I'm not capable of it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the shit. I talk to myself like that, right? Oh, I could never. And then I catch myself, right? I catch myself in the same fucking situation. And now, because I've judged you, then internally I shut myself off from my help because of my pride and my fucking ego. My pride and my ego won't let me come to you because I've talked shit to my sponsor about people who do shit like that. So now my pride and ego is so big that I can't go to you and say, man, I'm fucking up. You know, I can't do that. So my grand plan was just shut it down. Stop. It's over. Boom. Done. Phew. Done. Okay, I'm never going to do this again. Right? But I'm not going to fucking tell you either. You know? And that's the disease, man. Like, look, man, I'm here to tell you, man. And I don't know. My wife says some wild shit. And I don't know, like, if this needed to happen, if this was supposed to. I don't fucking know, right? I don't fucking know. But, what I do know is that I'm kind of like, I'm glad that it came out the way it came out. I'm glad that I got caught. I'm not glad that I did it. I'm glad that I got caught the way that I got caught. Because if I wouldn't have got caught, I probably would have done it again. Because I still wasn't never going to tell that man. I wouldn't have. I was ready to take that shit to my grave. 100%. Ready to take that shit to my fucking grave. You know, and I was talking about when I had 2.5 years clean and up to, what time is this meeting in? 2:15? Don't let me go over, man. 10 huh?
10
my wife said 15, but whatever. we are in Oklahoma. I don't know. Shit a little slower up here. I don't know. That's my defense mechanism too, right? I'm a funny motherfucker, man. I'm hilarious. I'm not saying that I'm funny, man. I make motherfuckers laugh. But that's my defense mechanism too, right? Like when I start feeling feelings, that's what I do, man. I try to say some funny shit. I try to make you laugh, and then it takes the focus off what's really going on with me. We start laughing. Next thing you know, you're trying to be funny. Boom, you done forgot all about what was going on with me, you know? And that's something that I do, man. I know that, but. You know, again, so 2.5 years, 6-step, quit working on myself, defects running wild, I'm doing shady ass fucking shit, right? I'm shady shit, right? That it all coincides with when I met my wife, and then I was still sleeping with my second oldest kid's mom. I got 4 kids from 3 different women, so that tells a little bit of the story right there. I have a hard time keeping my dick in my pants. But then I rock along with them, and then I'm like fucking around sleeping with both of them, right? And again, no step work going on, right? Defects, I became aware of them and chose not to fucking. But I realized, right? So like the 6-step says, becoming entirely ready, right? So all of that, what I know looking back is all of that was the process of me becoming entirely ready, right? It sounds fucked up to say, like you hurt people, right? You do fucked up shit that hurts people, and then come back and say, that's what needed to happen for me to become entirely ready. It sounds fucked up to say that out loud, right? But I truly believe that that's what had to fucking happen. Like I don't believe that I would have got entirely ready, you know what I mean? And you know, and then I rock along for 16 fucking years, and we end up here, and guess what? So, I'm not even fucking sure where I was in the step working process, right? So that's how long it had been since I'd done any active writing on what's going on inside of me, right? I know my sponsor put me on some tradition work, and I know I worked the first tradition with him, and we processed that, and I think that was like a year or two ago, I think. I mean, that's how fucked up it is, right? And I was supposed to be doing some writing on the second tradition. I ain't never fucking do it. You know, I ain't never fucking do it. He put me on a different assignment when all this came up. And you know, when the issue got brought up, that's 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night. I got home from my home group. It got brought up, and we talked for a while, Heather and I, and And it's just like instinct, right? And I said, all right. I said, I gotta call Chris. And see, that's the beauty. So we talk daily, Chris and I. Like if not talk, text, we communicate often. But that's how sick and how cold the disease is, right? Like this shit's going on. I'm talking to my sponsor regularly.
Right.
Regularly, I'm talking to my fucking sponsor, and I'm not fucking saying it, right?
Yeah.
I'm bullshitting. We're talking about the Mavericks. We're talking about this.
Yeah.
We're talking about that. I'm talking about what's going on in your life. Everything's great with me. Sponsor, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the kind of bullshit that's going on, right? I'm bullshitting my way through. Like, I'm not losing that. It ain't like I just quit fucking calling him. Like, I'm just not fucking opening up and sharing with him what's going on with me. And, you know, I walk out of the house and I fucking call him, man. It's really crazy, man, because that's irrelevant. It's really irrelevant. But, you know, I walk out and I call him, and it's just like instinctual, man. You know, when my ass is falling off, I've been trained.
Yeah.
To do the right thing, right? I need to get trained to, like, call before I get in these jackpots, right? Like, call when I'm on my way to the dope house, right? Because that's what I was doing, right? I was just using, man. Look, I'm not one of these weird people, man. And if you do it, I'm sorry, man. You're fucking weird. But I'm not one of these weird people that, like, says, I need to go to Gamblers Anonymous because I got to gamble. No, motherfucker, you suffer from the disease of addiction,
right?
It manifests itself in all areas of our life, right? It comes out of some different shapes and different sizes and different forms. It hits me from all different directions, you know? And social media is where it hit me from this time. But I've just never been one of them people like, oh, I need to go to Weight Watchers Anonymous or whatever the fuck you call it. No, motherfucker. Like, it's the disease of addiction, right? I'm trying to change the way I feel through food, through gambling, through sex, through through shoes, whatever the fuck it is. It's all trying to change the way that I feel. You know, and I called Chris, and I remember asking Chris, I said, man, who else do I got to fucking tell about this? He said, you ain't got to tell nobody, man. He said, you told me. He said, and that's it. He said, we'll work on it. He gave me an assignment, and we processed that assignment this morning. And my wife and I are in, like, an amazing spot, man, and it's really weird, and it's more of an testament to her and the person that she is than me. I mean, really, it says so much more about her than it does about me. I couldn't even imagine if the shoe was on the other foot. I mean, I couldn't even imagine what would go through my head. You know what I mean? So it says way more about her. And I woke up the next day, and I don't know why. I don't know why, man. I called Corbin. And you know, and that was hard. I just married him and his wife based off the person that they think I am. They just asked me to marry them, right? How many weeks ago?
Last time.
3 weeks ago? A month ago? Ish? You know? And I didn't have to call him. Sponsor direction. You ain't got to tell nobody. And something inside me, I needed to. And I called him. And he told me he fucking loved me. And that it didn't change anything. And that the reason he asked, that me calling him and admitting to my mistakes was part of the reason that they asked me to marry him. Because that says more about the type of man that I am. And I was like, fuck. Can you tell me I'm a piece of shit, please? You know, and then I called Tommy. I've been sponsoring Tommy for 14 fucking years. You know, he's my guy. You know, me and Chris joke around, and Chris says I sponsor him just as much as his sponsor sponsors him, and it's the same thing with Tommy. Tommy sponsors me just as much as I sponsor him, man. I mean, he knows everything about me, and it's just about we've been spent with 14 years, man. I mean, we've worked steps, we've done this, we've done that, we've shared intimate parts of our life with each other, and then I had to call my son. I didn't have to, but I had to call Delano, this kid that looks up to me, even though I call him an idiot. And, you know, I can remember sharing a fucking year ago that, like, if I'd have been living a fucked up life, would it really have been attractive for him to come to Narcotics Anonymous? That he'd have thought, this program don't fucking work. My dad's running around doing all kinds of shady shit. I remember sharing that shit from a podium like this. and feeling proud about it. I had to call this kid and tell him what I fucking did. Tell him I'm sorry, man. And he just told me he loved me. See, that's the kind of men that I've got surrounding me in my fucking life, right? Like, no, I have beat myself. My sponsor keeps telling me you made a fucking mistake, man. And again, he ain't trying to minimize it either. You didn't physically put your hands on another woman, right? You didn't physically cheat. He ain't telling me. I ain't telling you it's okay. He said, but I'm trying to help you see the video. He said, quit fucking beating yourself up, David. Stop. You know, you're not going to heal if you keep doing this. And, you know, like Corbin telling me what he told me. And Tommy telling me what he told me. And Delano's little dumb ass telling me what he fucking told me. Delano came and sat with me the whole next day. He came and sat at my fucking house. I was fucked up, man. I mean, in my head, my wife is leaving me. She's taking my two little kids, which are ours, together, and she's fucking leaving. And my whole world is crumbling down in front of me. I'm like, what the fuck? My sponsor said, don't fucking hurt yourself. He said, are you gonna hurt yourself? I said, huh? Yeah. Like, look, man, I know that the disease of addiction has taken a lot of us a lot of places. And luckily for me, suicide never crossed my mind. I mean, I clearly was trying to kill myself with drugs. I mean, not intentionally, but like, that was just never me. That's not my fucking story. You know what I mean? But he said that, and I was like, what? And he said, man, don't use. And you know what? Using ain't even, I hadn't even fucking thought about it.
Right.
Honestly, I haven't even, that's not even seemed like a remote possibility, which I'm extremely grateful for. But, I mean, Delano came and sat with me, and I ain't sharing none of his story, but like, we'll say this. I have conversations with him often that I think he should probably be a little bit more involved than he is, right? Like, make a meeting every 3 weeks. I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? And he comes in, he sits with me, and I'm like in a spot, right? I'm fucked up. I'm emotional. I'm crying. I don't cry, man. It, not for any reason, man. I don't shed tears often. You know what I mean? There's a few times in the past few 2 weeks. I thought something was wrong with me before. Like, so I thought something was, like, wrong with me inside because of my, like, lack of emotion in certain situations. I thought something was really wrong with me. And he's over there, and I really just want to be left the fuck alone. Like, I'm, like, just fucking... I didn't tell him that. I'm thinking, man, just leave. And he starts saying shit.
Like you always say, Dad.
He's repeating shit to me that I fucking say. And I'm like... fuck. I'm like, man, shut the fuck up. And if I didn't tell him that, and I just kind of grinned and bear it, and it was annoying as fuck. And I called him, and I said, man, thank you. Thank you for coming and sitting with me. Because I didn't want it. I didn't fucking want him there, man. I didn't want it, but I fucking needed it. You know? And I was just like, wow. Maybe some of this has caught on with him. So... I think his clock's fast, but I think he's giving me a sign over there. Tyler took all my fucking time.
Sorry,
bro. Fucking newcomers, man.
Yeah.
I'll share this one last thing and shut up, and that's for real, man. I hate motherfuckers that say, I'm going to share this, and I'm going to shut up, and then they say that three more times. Just to end it on a little better note, if you're from Oklahoma City... I just want to tell y'all how much of a blessing y'all have to have Jeff L. up here. Jeff is one of my predecessors. I got clean in San Angelo, Texas, and he was living in San Angelo at the time. Neither one of us were from there, but it's where we ended up kicking off our recovery and whatnot after, you know, anyways. And I love you, man. I love you, and you know, you text me last night, and Heather and I were driving in, and you text me, and you said, it fucked me up, because I know what I'm going through, and sometimes I don't think I'm that person, and you said you couldn't wait to see me and get one of those good old David H. hugs, man, and we still haven't got that hug yet, but if you're in Oklahoma City and you haven't got an opportunity to spend some time with Jeff, hit him up, man. Don't be mad at me when you start getting people bugging the fuck out of you. I love you. Thank you.
All right, let's circle up.